listener production.
Coming up on the Footy Talk podcast for you Thursday, Heeshaw and I have a deep dive into the dissent rule and if giving away a second goal is too much of a penalty. We'll talk about all the action from round five and draw a line through a few teams that you may not be thinking. They won't be playing finals. We'll give you the top four seeds plus preview the massive match tonight. This is all on the Footy Talk podcast coming up next. Hello and welcome to Footy Talk for your Thursday. Footy Talk is your place for the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. And as on a Thursday, I am always delighted to see my good mate, Mr. Heeshaw. Heeter, welcome.
Thank you, Daisy. How was your week last week, mate? We didn't get to do this last week because you're busy.
I was busy, yes. I was preparing for a big fight.
Yeah, how was it?
The fight was all right. Like, I was obviously going in against a bloke who was a lot fitter, if that's a word, a lot more fit.
Yeah, fitter is a word. Yeah,
yeah, fitter, and had been doing boxing for a lot longer. So we sort of got what we expected, but I had a bit of a laugh in there, wore a few to the head, and we moved on.
Yeah, I don't actually have a hat on, but hats off to you for actually getting in the ring because there's no way I would get in there.
It's a very lonely place, Heath.
Yeah, you can't hide.
There isn't, no. And the more puffed you get, you either have to start swinging and get more puffed or retreat and get hit, which yes. makes you more puffed.
So then your decisions in your head, you're like, should I just throw a haymaker and try and end it?
Yes.
Or should I just sort of try and avoid? Yeah. I'll take a dive. Corey McKernan. Yep.
It was good fun. If you had to pick one person from any of the sides that you played against, obviously I fought Swanee, who would you like to go in the ring with?
Well, I liked a lot of my teammates. I didn't.
Yeah, I like Swanee. It was just
got matched up against him. Mm. But I think for theatre, I'd be out of my weight division, but I'd have to have a crack at Mumford. Because I reckon...
Big mummy.
Yeah, because people would want me to win that because they'd want to see the little guy beat the big guy. And everyone I played with at the Giants, and I suppose anyone who played with Mumford at Geelong, Sydney or the Giants would want me to win. So I just have to say Mumford.
That would be a must-watch match because I assume you'd be running around and he'd be trying to smack you and then eat you.
Yeah, I'd run around for the first couple of rounds and get him
get puffed.
Yeah.
Mummy actually is a good segue into this because he didn't get along well with umpires. And the dissent rule has reared its ugly head again, probably in the worst way possible, of course. We speak of the Fremantle-Carlton game and the late free kick double goal given against Jordan Clark. One, do you think that was the right decision? Two, where to from here?
Clearly not, because I'd probably be in the same boat as Mumford. If this dissent rule was from the start of my career, I would have given away a lot of free kicks and I would have got in a lot of trouble. It's hard because you're actually so passionate about the game. And the only reason why people do it is because they're passionate and they're in the moment. Jordan Clark, the dissent wasn't even to the umpire, which makes you even more sick. And I don't think there ever should be a double goal. It's like too much of a penalty for anything. Because if... For instance, you kick the goal and someone belts you afterwards. You've already kicked the goal. Like, it's done.
So a free kick back to the centre, are you happy with?
I wouldn't even say that because it's gone through. Like, time has stopped.
Time's off.
Yeah, time is off. The advantage is you've kicked the goal. If you get clobbered having a shot at goal or kicking a goal and it's a point, you bring it back. But the advantage is it's a goal. So I don't think there should... But definitely shouldn't be ever a double goal. And even the free kick is, it doesn't make it. It's too much of a penalty. And did it cost them the game? Yes, it did.
Absolutely. Even a free kick in the centre would have cost them the game.
Yeah. And it just ruined what was a good game, to be honest.
Do you think because the AFL is so harsh on this and players don't lose rapport with the umpires but are too afraid to have any sort of conversation because at the start of the year when this was all talked about, it was if you looked at an umpire wrong and you pointed or you did anything, it was a 50-metre or a free kick. Do you think if there was better relationships between players and umpires, like rugby union, this would get better outcomes and more respectful chats?
Exactly the same as Premier League. They can have heated discussions and no one gets a free kick either way. Rugby league is very similar, but
union,
the whole thing
not
is
league just go berserk and they get sent off.
Union, but the whole thing is it's like this is an interesting word, dehumanizing umpires. We're making them above the players because we're saying you can't go near them, you can't look at them differently, you can't talk to them inappropriately or whatever it is, you can't even have a discussion, you can't question them. So we're dehumanizing, which is making umpires more hated. People don't hate Jordan Clark from the weekend, they hate the umpire's decision and the umpires. So if we actually to look after the umpires, we take that away because that's making them more hated than they should be. That's my theory on it. And if we want to make them more human, you can talk to them. You know what you say to it. And then the umpire just goes back, no, mate, it's a free kick, move on. Or whatever it is. Like, they can have a bit of banter, Razor Raylock, because he is probably the most human of the lot of them because he actually does have a little bit of banter back and forward. Sometimes he gets carried away, yep. But it's still good for the game.
So you'd be happy if you went berserk at an umpire and he said, Heath, don't speak to me like that. Let's have a chat.
No,
do you reckon that would
want him
you?
To say, Heath, you gave away the free kick. You're going to cost your team a goal. It's your fault, so stop blaming everyone else. Bang. What am I going to say to that? Nothing, because it's probably the truth.
You realise on a football field you've never been wrong.
Yeah, but
whether being talked to by an opponent, a teammate,
but that
a
would,
coach,
that would shock
a runner.
Me. I'd be a bit shocked by that and I wouldn't know what to say. So that's what I'm saying. It's if you have a little bit of back and forth, don't talk to me like I'm a school kid. Because I'm not. I'm an adult. And they're adults. So they can be treated like adults as well. We're treating them like they're above the players and they're actually not. They're a part of the game.
I think from a player's point of view, it's so easy to get caught up in what's happening in the game. So you've tried your backside off for near on four quarters. There's a minute 30 to go and you clearly know the decision that's been paid is incorrect. And yes, we always get told the umpire won't reverse his decision, you know that. But the passion that you play with and the commitment you have to have to every moment of that game to be still physically attacking the ball, to be mentally in the game, you have to be so switched on and so entrenched in it. No doubt, if Jordan Clark hadn't given away the free kick and someone said to him at the end of the game, what'd you say to the umpire? He would have been like, well, I don't know, probably something, you made the wrong decision. Because you're acting on emotion rather than using your brain.
Yeah, and it's the old, oh, we need to move on. You can't actually say that because you're invested in the game. And if you care about the game, then you're emotionally invested and that's why you have these outbursts. And people asking for the captain's call and all that stuff, like they're kidding themselves. Looking at the reviews does my head in. Every single goal does my head in as it is. We don't want to turn out like rugby league, as you said. You're waiting for the try and then you sort of half celebrate and then wait and then half celebrate again. Takes it away.
We are, of course, talking about the dissent rule, which in terms of swearing at umpires, not anything else that happened over the weekend in race, religion, sexual orientation and anything around that. So please, let's have that be clear. Round five, it's upon us. The season feels like it's already gone for 6.5 months. Gather round, opening round, Easter, Anzac Day coming up.
Round zero.
What, and right now, who are your top four seeds?
Probably going with the obvious, the Giants.
Tick.
Because they're undefeated.
That's what I had.
I like the Swans, even though they had a little hiccup against Richmond.
Tick.
Carlton, because they're finding a way to win at the moment.
See, that's why I had them out right now.
Yeah, but they're not hitting their straps. As an old fitness coach of ours and coach used to say, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So they're
earth
getting the
is slow,
earlier.
But the ox is patient.
That's correct. So they will peak. They're not peaking yet, but okay. They'll find a way to. And then very similar to Carlton is Geelong. Okay. That's the other one because they're winning and they're finding a way to win and they haven't hit their straps. They've got some players to come back in and – yeah, I think the momentum there is good and they've got a good solid outfit, very similar to the premiership outfit from a couple of years ago.
I had Geelong in there. The only one I had different was Port instead of the Blues. I just want to see a little bit more conviction from the Blues. Yes, they're winning and winning sort of ugly, but I think it can only last so long before you drop a couple. It is round five. Are there any supporters that should just be booking holidays for September now? Draw a line through your side. You
Plenty.
Are not going to be anywhere near the conversation of making finals.
Plenty.
Because I've got a few. The obvious, the low-hanging fruit here, West Coast, North Melbourne and Hawthorn.
They all their supporters already booked their flights before the season started. They knew that, but they were just hoping for...
a miracle?
Not for a miracle. They're just hoping a bit of improvement. Mm. I think they understand that. So those are understandable.
Have any of those sides improved?
Yeah. But they still haven't won any games, so I can't really say much. It's like, yeah, you have, but you're sitting 18th, 17th and 16th and without a win, so it's not ideal, but you want to get a couple or show a little bit before the end of the year.
I have a big question mark around the next three.
Okay.
And if I don't think I'm bold enough yet to draw a line. Adelaide, Richmond, Essendon.
Adelaide are done.
Caputted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're okay. Zipping four and... like you've lost a couple of home games, so you sort of bank you're going to win the home game. So there's two of those of they've lost two at home, or maybe even three, two.
We'll
just say two. So they win all their home games, they get 9 wins. Unlucky.
Okay, so we'll draw a line through them. Yep. Richmond, too many injuries.
Way too many injuries. Their effort last week was really good, but they still didn't win.
Essendon, the Essendon edge that wasn't there. Edge of the cliff, that was it, and they all fell off.
Yeah, I wouldn't be booking holidays, but I would. I'd book the holidays and have it like you can
a flexi
you
can get your money
back. Yeah, you go flexi with Essendon because you never know. With 2 metre Peter comes back in after his hiatus, they could find a way to win some games of footy.
Are you saying tentatively book your holidays for the second week of September?
They're not getting past the first week. They definitely, if they make finals, they're going to lose.
Anyone else? Brisbane obviously started the year horribly. We talked about
Adelaide. Brisbane, I'll go out on a limb and say they won't make finals.
Draw a line.
Yeah, well, think Brisbane, about this. Think right? about, where are they? 1 from 4.
Correct.
1 win, yes.
Yep.
Right? So they have got Melbourne this week.
Yep.
Who are you tipping?
I've tipped Melbourne.
So there you go.
They're 1-5.
1-5. Then they have the bye.
So they'll get a win there.
So they get a bye. And then they play Geelong, who you've said is in your top four.
1-6.
And then they play the Giants.
Right now, that's 1-7. Wow.
Can you play finals if you're 1-7?
History would say, Heath, not a chance in hell.
There you go. Write down this day, this date, and I said it. This date that they won't play finals.
Thursday the 11th.
Yeah, played in final, grand final, and they'd missed the finals the next year. Collingwood will sneak in, so one of the teams misses out.
There you go. You've heard that here first. Hey, hang around. We will be discussing next the big game. We've already given predictions on it, but we'll go into more of a deep dive between the D's and the Lions that is happening tonight. This is the Footy Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Footy Talk Podcast. This is your place for the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL, where we somehow managed to give a tip before we've already discussed this game, but it is a massive game tonight. Melbourne going along just nicely, had a really good 8 days in Adelaide where they banked 2 wins. The Brisbane Lions, well, they found a little bit of form against North Melbourne with a 70-point drubbing. They also had some confidence for the big boys. Danaher kicked 5, Eric kicked 3, Charlie kicked 2. Do you give them a hope tonight?
Oh, there's definitely hope, and they do have a fairly potent forward line.
Is this a season-defining game?
Yes, it is. It is, because as we spoke about, if they lose this, they go to 1-5 in the bye.
Cats, GWS
to come. It's hard to come back from there, so I reckon you would be, if you were Fagan, you would be saying this is an important game. So it's a very, very important game.
There's the mastermind in here, sure.
Yeah.
What are you doing? We want to pump the boys up. Boys, this is an important game.
Well, it's an important game for him too, because if they miss the finals, he might be
Tijuana. So you're drawing a line through Brisbane and the coach.
Well, if Brisbane don't make the finals, then he'll go too.
My goodness.
Isn't that obvious?
to
me it is.
You said it, your words. I distance myself from that. The next month, if they do go on a run, they beat Melbourne, they beat the Cats.
They beat the Giants.
And they beat the Giants.
Yeah.
Well, they would then be spoken about as premiership contenders.
They'd still be 3-3.
Yep.
With a bye.
Yeah.
So,
3-4.
I wouldn't say you'd be premiership contenders.
No, not 3.
You'd probably.
Yeah, they've lost 3.
Yeah, you'd be up
Jeez,
there.
You know that little thing where the numbers come up in your head? That's what happened to me.
I thought you were talking about the boxing match. There.
Not much computing. A winner tonight, and why? Because it is the old offense v defense for me.
Yeah, I have a big query on Brisbane's midfield.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, Lachie Neal is back in. He's playing his 250th game.
Well done to him.
They missed him when he missed that week. But the rest of them, I just don't know. Where's the class? And then I have a bit suspect on their back line as well.
But Melbourne's forward line isn't potent. Like you've got Bailey Fritsch?
It can be. But then Harris Andrews is the key to their back line. But they, what, see, who's he going to play him? Ben Brown. If he doesn't get a kick, it doesn't matter. Like, they can still kick a score. So that's what I'm suspect on. Whereas you look at Melbourne's defence against, obviously, Brisbane's attack, which is more than solid, they can handle them because they have good defenders, Melbourne, and they have really high class.
Lever will go to Danaher.
Back line.
May will go to Hipwood, and Judd McVie, he's becoming a player. Yeah. He will go to Charlie Cameron. He did a great job last week on Isaac Rankin.
Yeah, so there you go. There's the three. And if you said right now, who's going to win those battles, most would be in Melbourne's favour. That's why I think they'll win. Here's a question for you.
Okay.
Is Lockie, this sounds real stupid. You know I like to say that statement before I ask a question.
Which generally means this is going to be stupid.
Is Lockie Neal underrated in terms of his career? He's played 250 games. He's won two Brownlow medals.
If he was in Melbourne, and we often use this analogy, he would be an out-and-out superstar that would be spoken about every week. I think because he does and has been playing up in Brisbane, probably doesn't get the credit for what he deserves in terms of dual Brownlow medalist. 135 games with Fremantle, 114 with the Brisbane Lions, has polled 187 career Brownlow votes. That's equal with former teammate Nat Fyfe. That is a lot of Brownlow votes. Two-time Brownlow medalist and the Lions captain. What he does in that midfield is underrated. If you watch him, and hopefully the people listening do watch along tonight, watch on Channel 7 and then listen, of course, to Triple M. You can double down the call. He's class and skill in the middle there. He does not fumble. If it is a little bit slippery, just watch how clean he is. And for the young kids out there, watch his ability to trap the ball, win it, and then dispose of it all within a microsecond.
So you just go, for me, and I'm Simon Goodwin, I'd get Viney. And I'd say, mate, every stoppage, you're the man, because Viney's
hard and tough.
Hard and tough. And he just goes bang at him and follows him and lets Petrarca, Oliver, all those guys just run amok.
Dunkley has to go to one of those two, though. Petrarca or? I'd be putting Dunkley on Oliver because I think they're similar players.
Yeah, but I think Oliver's got his measure in terms of like stoppage and clearance. But yeah, you have to pay attention to Lockie Neal. And as I said, when he doesn't play well, they don't usually play well, and it gives you a bit better chance to win. So send Viney to him, as you said, hard, smash into him at stoppage, and then get him on going the other way. But he is his record speaks for itself. But as you've said, like down here, I'm like, if you said Lockie Neal's greatest of all time, I'm like, no chance. Is he anywhere near it? No. Like, I could name 15 players before him right now, and he's won two Brownlows.
Can you name 15 more Brisbane players who are better than him? Surely he's Go.
Mate, all the Voss, Lappin, Ackermanis, Black, Scott, Lepich,
Lynch. You think the Scott brothers had better careers?
Johnson, Darryl White. Roger Merritt.
If you say Danny Dick Voss, you are losing all credibility here. I'll stop you before everybody questions your sanity and your credibility.
Craig McRae.
Here's the flyback.
Luke Power.
In 2021, the Lions entered a round five clash with a scoreline of 1-3. They beat Essendon and then went on to win the next 10 of 11 matches.
Well, they need to do that if they're going to be anywhere this year.
I'm starting to come around to the Lions tonight. I'm not going to tip them. I'm going to stay with the form because they need to turn something around if they are going to win.
But it's a good match.
And by only about one or two goals.
Yeah, it definitely won't be a blowout, but it's going to be a cracking game.
And that's your summation.
I said that Melbourne will win.
Yeah, and it's going to be a cracking game.
Yeah.
We have learned that you might be the worst motivational speaker of all time.
I don't need to motivate people. I'm not involved in any of the clubs. If I was at Collingwood or the Giants, then I'd want them to win. I'd motivate them a bit more. But these two can have a nil or draw, and I couldn't care less.
And that's why we have you on for your honest appraisal. Hey, Abby and Jay will be back on Monday to unpack all the action from the weekend. If you're listening on Spotify, hit the bell and be notified when we drop a new episode. This is the Footy Talk podcast. If you want to get involved, send us a message on Instagram at footytalk_pod. Hey, Shaw, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much, Dale.
Have yourself a wonderful weekend and go D's.
Go Giants and Pies.